Sasa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. And today we're talking about the British detective.
We recorded for a whole 3 minutes, said the name once or twice, and had immediate technical difficulties. So we're Macbething it. We're not gonna speak its name as much as we can. The character is different.
Yes, we're going with Macbeth rules as if this is a theater. So if we're talking about the show itself, we're calling this the British Detective. But if we're talking about the character, we're gonna call him Sherlock. We are specifically talking about Moffat's BBC British Detective. Mm-hmm.
So, the British Detective show came out BBC. It was written by Mark Gatiss, Stephen Moffat, and Stephen Thompson. The original release date is 2010 to 2017, with many, many hiatuses.
Yes.
Or very long hiatuses.
Yes. And that is honestly part of the problem.
Yeah, it lost a lot of momentum between, I think, the second and third season was that really long one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know, brief summary, modern AU, Sherlock Holmes. We got a Sherlock Holmes, we got a Dr. John Watson, plot ensues.
Yes. All right, so let's just get into why we hate this.
We first have to start with how good it was. And I don't know if that's just me and where I was at the time. Also, I did not watch it live. We talked about that in the last episode. But I still, without doing a recent rewatch, I still stand by the first two seasons.
Okay. Valid opinions. For me, I was on Tumblr in like 2012, like most of us were, unlike, not Lily, but me.
Yeah.
and I think that the second season had just come out, and it was like, oh my god, like people were posting about it, and I had no idea what this was, and I saw a bunch of pictures of Benedict Cucumber or whatever. I don't want to do that gag today. too much. We have to think about different names for too many people today. And I just remember thinking, man, this guy's ugly. I just really kept thinking, and I was like, why is everyone in love with him?
It's the voice.
It was the voice. I decided to start watching it, and I was like, oh, I get it. Because yeah, the second you hear his voice, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Also, I maintain Benedict Cumberbatch is a really good actor. Like, he was a really good Sherlock.
Oh, no.
I haven't seen him too much outside of the other realm. But, like, I think he, as an actor, really pulled off that character. Which I also think Martin Freeman. Yeah, Martin Freeman also really pulled off his character. And I think that's one of the reasons that the show sold as well as it did. Was because the actors were really good at their jobs.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I don't think Benjamin Cucumber is... I know I just said I didn't want to do the gag.
But... Yeah, I was like... that was the whole 2 seconds.
He is a good actor. But my driving force to watch it was because I saw how much Tumblr was obsessing over it. So I was like, okay, let me watch it. And those first two seasons, they really did catch me. Like, I was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had watched it pretty soon after they, like, all three episodes had just aired. So I was in it for that whole hiatus.
Oof. Yikes. Yeah.
And it was bad. It was bad. One distinct memory I have is an image of a billboard for the British Detective that... was like, please come back or something. It was something along that lines about, like, it was stressing how long the hiatus was.
Of course.
And I was like, who paid for that?
Billboards are not cheap. The hiatus between seasons 2 and 3, was that Reichenbach Falls? Was that also the plot? Okay.
Because there are 4 total seasons, right?
Yeah. I just couldn't remember what the third one left off.
Yeah, so the first
now
season...
Now I think I remember the third one
The first
left
season
off.
Sets up Moriarty as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
It's very heavy, like, oh, Moriarty. The second season ends on the classic, like, Reichenbach Falls ending, which is Sherlock dying.
Yeah.
With but also Moriarty. Leaving it kind of open-ended. And then that was, like, the 3-year hiatus. Or 3 or 4 years? It was a really long time. And then the season 3 came out, and I honestly don't remember season 3.
That was the Mary season.
Oh my
season.
God, that was that guy who, like, had a really good memory, too, and he had...
Yeah, that was Mind Palace season. That was that villain. Mostly Mary.
And then season four goes off. I still have not seen season four.
Really? I'm not going to hold that against you because it's by far the worst season. Everyone who works on that show, and this is one of the reasons why it's so bad, is you could tell everyone who worked on it was sick of it.
Yeah.
And the energy and even though they were still doing their jobs, the entire time it just felt like they were doing their jobs. No one was enjoying it anymore.
By the time season four rolled around, I'd lost so much interest in the show that I did not even have the energy to watch it. And now when I see it on Netflix and I'm like, you know what? Every once in a while I'm like, you know what? I should watch that last season.
Just to finish.
And I just never do it. I just never do it because I know how historically bad it was. You know what? I think that the British detective suffers from How I Met Your Mother syndrome.
Among other things.
Yeah.
Oh, where, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yes.
How I Met Your Mother, Game of Thrones, and the British detective, specifically BBC British detective, is like the reason. No, sorry. These three shows have so horrifically betrayed their fans in a way that made their presence in the zeitgeist just fall off the face of the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So I would say that that's accurate for the British detective. However, I think that they did that in season three.
I think they did it in season three. And like I mentioned in our queerbaiting episode, the first sign that all was not well was the Christmas special they did in the middle of the hiatus. That was utter nonsense. The whole bit of it was written badly. That was the first time I felt made fun of as a fan by my own content. And I was like, what are we signing up for? What on earth is this third season gonna be? And then I watched it and I was like, the Christmas special came out between 3 and 4? Oh, then that makes even more sense now. For some reason, I thought it was between 2 or 3. No, that makes even more sense because the Christmas special, like I said, it was making a mockery of its viewers, and the fourth season just continued that. And that's not fun.
I'm shocked that you felt that after season three and not in the first episode of season three.
Do not remember season three. Oh, that's his comeback.
The first episode of season three is, it's immediately after Reichenbach falls. For 3 years, fans have been trying to figure out how Sherlock survived. For 3 years. There are...
Classic. That's what you do with as a Sherlock Holmes fandom.
Yeah, there are hundreds of fan theories. And Moffat, this entire time, is like, we know exactly how he did it. We know exactly how he did it. And you're all going to be like, when we tell you what it is. It's going to be insane. This episode comes out, and he spends the entire episode going over different fan theories, going, oh no, that's not it. And then being like, you just have to trust that Sherlock is smart enough that he figured it out, and we're not going to tell you how.
And also, he made fun of the fan theories. Like, they were literal characters voicing their theories, and he was just ridiculing them.
Yeah. So that was the first time that I realized that... it's not the first time that I realized that the showrunners had no respect for us, but, like, it was the first time that I saw it on screen reflected back at us in the content that we're actively enjoying.
That makes sense.
Because, honestly, I've seen interviews with them at San Diego Comic-Con and all those things where they were kind of making fun of their fans. And, like, I remember that they were at Comic-Con during the big flower crown thing. And they, like...
Oh.
That big flower crown, moment. Phase where everyone was, like, giving out... Like, fans would be like, here, wear my flower crown. Like, here, wear a flower crown.
Yeah.
And they were, like, we're not doing that. Like, lame. Like, they were basically throwing them back at the fans and being like, we're not wearing your flower crown.
The cast or the creators?
The creators.
Mm.
I don't think Benedict Cumberbatch or Martin Gittis ever actually went to...
The cons?
San Diego Comic-Con. For the British detective, at least.
Yeah. I was going to say Marvel pays enough that you bet Cumberbatch went.
No, but I think for the British detective, they didn't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think the reason I didn't feel that in season 3 is because I wasn't as invested. If I'd been waiting that long, I would have felt like a slap in the face. But since I had a much shorter wait, I was like, not in on the joke, but I felt like, oh, I get what's happening here.
Well, because versus... you started watching after season 3 had already aired, no?
No. I watched season 3 live. I probably started the show, like, 12 months or less before it came on, though.
Okay.
I think we got an air date, and my friends were like, okay, you should watch it. You should watch it before it comes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did.
But, I feel like we must start at the beginning of at least these first two seasons. We're 12 minutes in, but I think we need to come back and start at the beginning of season 1 and season 2. What drew you in?
So I'm a huge Sherlock Holmes fan. I've read pretty much every novel and short story from Arthur Conan Doyle. I think I'm missing some things. But I'm also, we've discussed and mentioned it many times in the past, super against the Holmes-Watson ship. It is one of my least favorite romantic ships. I don't know if that's homophobic or not. We will discuss at some other later date and time. So again, everything I'd heard about Sherlock was how strong their ship was. So I was like, no, I don't want to see this. This is clearly one I'm not a fan of. And then one of my friends who had been in it since season 1 was like, okay, you can kind of ignore the ship because it was only the first two seasons. Like, if you don't want to see it, you can kind of ignore it. But I think it's a really good adaptation and you're going to really like Cumberbatch as Sherlock. And I was like, okay, I guess. What really got me, what like hooked me into the adaptation was Moriarty. I thought they did a really good Moriarty. Second of the adaptations I've seen, I will say.
Who's the first?
Elementary.
Okay, I was about to say, if it's not Elementary, I don't know what you're going to say.
Elementary, America's CBC? CBS, yes. Sorry. Yeah. America's CBS
just, like, combined did their BBC own adaptation. And CBS.
And that's why. Best Moriarty, if you want to see, if you're curious. But yeah, no. And then I watched the first two seasons and I was like, this is a very good adaptation. I can pretend the ship isn't there.
Yeah.
I am invested. And then I regret it. I'm very sad.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I was like, oh my God, this is so smart. Like, I felt so intelligent watching it. Like, you're like, oh my God, like, Sherlock is such a great character. He's so cool. Like, I was just really drawn into the character and how they were presenting him in this one. And how it was like, oh my God, like, he's, I've never seen Sherlock portrayed as, like, a recovering drug addict or any of those, like, things that they were kind of, like, hinting at throughout the episodes. But... So, like, the first three episodes, I remember being like, oh my God, this is so good. This is so good. This is so good. Like,
yeah.
And, like, getting to the end and being like, oh my God, like, that end of that first episode with the taxi cab driver and being like, oh my God, it was a taxi cab driver? Like, that twist. Like,
the first episode is so good.
Like, the twist, like, took me out. I was like, oh. Like, that's wild. And, to me, I was like, these first three episodes are peak. Like, these are so good.
Yeah.
I still stand by
that first season.
I had even had, like, I had the first episode of Sherlock, I don't know how, downloaded on my, like, iTunes. I think they were doing a free thing. Like, the pilot was free, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I had it downloaded to watch it. And then the second season, I was like, this is also, like, awesome. This is incredible. But, like, the end of that season happened, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, how did Sherlock do it? How did he survive? This is insane. He literally fell off a building. Like, this is, like, he fell off of a building onto the pavement. Like, there's no way to survive that. Like, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it traditionally that they fall off, like, a waterfall?
Yeah.
So, like, there's, like, kind of something there to be like, well, maybe, like, something, like, he caught his fall somewhere along the line of the waterfall, but, like, we fall off a building, like, there's nothing to do, like.
Yeah. It was also public. Sherlock, like, that was, like, the stipulation of the situation, is everyone had to see it. We had to see a body.
Yeah. So it was like insane. It was just so insane. I remember like waiting those 3 years to be like, what happened? How did he survive? So I got mm-hmm. really drawn in those first two seasons, and then season three happened, and I was just big mad.
Yeah, that's a really good way to describe season three.
Like, big mad. And I remember that one time that I invited you to come to a Emmy screening for Emmertainment in college. And I think Sherlock was up for the special, the Christmas special. Or maybe it was like a year after that. I don't remember, actually.
Yeah, something.
But I very distinctly remember watching it live and going, why the hell is Sherlock nominated for anything? Isn't it irrelevant at this point? Because it was nominated for like TV movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it so much that it was just there because I didn't feel like it deserved to be on the caliber of the Emmys.
Mm.
Because yeah. It was just ridiculous. It was. The special was when they did something like, what if these actors were playing Sherlock as if he were in his normal time frame, you know?
Yeah, and we found out the whole plot twist of the special was he was high.
He was high, or it was all a dream, like that kind of.
Yeah,
like that
was a fever dream.
It was all a dream, actually. Which is the worst plot twist.
It was really bad, and they tried to tie it into the real plot, and then that made it worse.
Yeah.
And once again, it was just making a mockery of its fans.
Yep.
And the people who made it a thing.
Honestly, if they had just made it, like, a little cute standalone, like, let's just make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if we had these actors play these characters in the mm-hmm. time frame it's supposed to be, in the time that it's supposed to be? Like, that would be kind of interesting to see them go from modern to...
Yeah.
To Victorian.
I love Victorian era styling. It's one of the reasons why I like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And then, again, they just threw it all in our face.
Mm-hmm. So... I remember really disliking season three, and then I found this video on YouTube, and I've told you about it, and I've sent it to you. It is a 2-hour-long video on why Stephen Moffat is the worst.
That is 2 Sherlock episodes. Ah! We need a thing whenever I say the show. What do you do for Macbeth?
What do you mean?
I said the show as its title. What do you... Isn't there, like, a award... for Macbeth when you say it in the theater?
I don't know. What is something that we can say that is British detective related?
Literally all I have is the game's afoot.
Oh, yeah. The game's afoot, okay. Lily. You made a mistake. <game's>...
Okay, that's our thing whenever we accidentally say it.
There we go.
Making up rules as we go.
Yeah, so it's... Actually, I think an episode and 30 minutes of The British Detective. Because it's 90 minutes for one episode.
Yeah.
And so basically it laid down some really solid points. Stephen Moffat became the showrunner for Doctor Who when Tennant left. So for the 11th Doctor, he became the...
Oh, okay.
The showrunner. And previous to that, everyone was like, oh my god, like, I'm so excited... That's going to be so great. Moffat has genuinely written some of the most beloved episodes of Doctor Who.
Wow.
Blink is an incredible episode. The Christmas special for the 9th Doctor is really good. The one with, like, masks. When they're in London during the Blitz. Like, those are... some solid episodes of Doctor Who. They're very memorable. People always point to them as, like, being great Doctor Who episodes, pivotal, like, iconic episodes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
However, he was not in charge of the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when he became in charge of the show, you could kind of see how, like, this is what this 2-hour video was detailing. You can kind of see that Moffat needed an editing hand.
Oh, okay.
He needed someone to be like, you need to work within this frame, you know?
Okay. You think they gave him too much creative control because he They just made him showrunner.
Yeah.
Or headrunner. Yeah.
And showrunner. A big issue in Doctor Who is that between David Tennant and Matt Smith was that the Doctor kind of became this guy who liked to talk about how great he was and how impressive he was and how dangerous he was, but never really showed it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of like, I'm the Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was like, where, okay, show me. Like, show me why the Doctor is awesome. Don't just be like, I'm awesome because I'm the Doctor and, like, monsters fear me.
Right, right, right.
So it lost kind of, like, that fun edge to it because you didn't really get to see the Doctor do anything. He was playing high and mighty for a lot of it.
Okay.
And I think that Sherlock suffers from something similar. We see... Yeah. Sherlock do very little actual detecting.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
I did it.
The game's afoot.
Yes.
I was going to say, and the thing, and I'm not as familiar with Doctor Who, but like that is the archetype for the character of Holmes, is he's brilliant and he knows it and he thinks he's above everybody. And I think they overplayed into that a lot as the seasons went on, which is the opposite of character development.
Yeah.
Because they tried to do everyone's favorite anime trope of showing the tough guy with a soft side. And then they leaned into it a little too much.
And it was mostly like the tough guy with a soft side?
Yeah, of just like, don't worry, he's got a heart of gold under there. Like,
but show
I guess
it.
We have to. Yeah, I guess we have to take your word for it. We only know it occasionally.
But yeah. That's what Moffat suffers from, is that he tells and doesn't show.
Mm-hmm,
and part of the video was going, half of these, most of these episodes actually have us seeing Sherlock do all the cool detecting stuff off screen. Where he's actually doing these, like, super genius moves where he's like, oh, this is absolutely how you figured this out. Like, I know this from, like, magical ability that the murder weapon must be a boomerang. But it's like, how would you actually know that the murder weapon is a boomerang just by looking at him, you know?
Yeah.
And it actually compared the British detective to Elementary, where a lot of those plots and episodes, you are following that Sherlock throughout the whole episode, and you're seeing how he's connecting the dots, and yeah, he's supposed to be doing it quicker than you, but that means that when you go back and watch the episode over again, you should be able to pick out those clues that he found.
Mm-hmm.
But
also a hallmark of Holmes in the original books is that he was doing absolutely bizarre detective techniques, like looking for fingerprints is genuinely an Arthur Conan Doyle. He put it into common practice. Like, a fictional character put fingerprinting into common practice.
Yeah. That's impressive.
And so, like, a lot of the early season and a lot of what Elementary showed is, like, Holmes getting down on the floor and doing this thing and, like, Holmes sniffing and knowing, I know this exact tobacco smoke, and so on and so forth. And we lost that. We just saw him sitting in a chair after a while. And talk, like, at first, I will say, like,
you mean in Elementary or in The British Detective?
In The British Detective.
Oh, okay.
We just kind of saw him sitting in a chair. Because, like, the first few seasons, I thought it was really cool. Whenever Cumberbatch would just go on those, like, quick deducing monologues.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of cool. But then it became one trick.
Or when they showed it on screen and he was, like, shuffling through words and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, that was
like,
cool.
That was innovative.
You could see his process in his head.
Yeah. And then we kind of lost that as the seasons went on.
Because, again, Moffat decided to tell and not show.
Which doesn't make sense when you have a 90-minute show.
You have 90 minutes per episode. You have 3 episodes per season.
Mm-hmm.
Do something with it.
Yeah.
Do something. And that, I think, was my big beef, is that after... which made me big mad about season 3, was like, you made me wait 3 years for this TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And none of these episodes lived up to anything.
Yeah, they all really, really fell flat. I remember I genuinely did not care of that final finale, the Mind Palace dude, because I think they made a huge mistake killing off... If they were going for more, they should not have killed off Moriarty. They had a killer actor. They had great villain chemistry. And then they offed him. And I was how... What... Where are you going to go from that? And I will admit, I was really excited whenever the Did You Miss Me? The Moriarty tease at the end of season 3. I was like, ah, salvation. And we know how that panned out.
Oh, they both faked their death.
Right? That's what we were led to believe. Because I was like, that was something that the British detective show would do. You could see it kind of like, for me, that was the glimmer of hope of like the season 1 innovation. And then they just dropped the ball. They had a big old yoga ball and they just dropped it.
Yeah. So that's that. Also the thing that the 2-hour video that we'll link this, mm-hmm. if you choose to watch it, it'll be on our episode notes. It really does kind of touch on the fact that they really heavily played on the fact that Moriarty is gay in this one. So they were,
I can see that.
Really
I can see
like the villain is gay. They were coding mm-hmm. the villain as gay again, which is, you know, not at all problematic.
Yeah. At first, I kind of read it as just utter chaos. I didn't read it as a sexual orientation driving factor. But given the British detective's history with how badly it handles queer things, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So that's also very disappointing. This show just makes me so mad. I just think that there's so much potential in the British detective that there's just nothing valid in it after on a rewatch. Honestly, like, if I went back and watched those first two seasons, I think I would get big mad again.
Because you would know where it would go. You would know that there's nothing good at the end of it.
But I don't even think that, like, There's just, I feel like there is a lot pointed out in that video that I had watched about like why Stephen Moffat is trash that makes me angry now when I watch the show and I'm like, oh my God, they're right.
Yeah, like, yeah, that
and
makes
you
sense.
See the flaws in those first two seasons as well.
Yeah, yeah. They're not, they're good. That doesn't mean they're perfect. Highly flawed.
Yeah. And again, I don't know. Like if you still go back and watch those first two seasons and you get enjoyment out of them and you think that they're good on you. I'm happy for you that you can still find enjoyment from this show.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, the biggest letdown, and this was just as I was watching continuously, is even before I really knew what asexuality was or the fact that I did identify as ace, I always looked up to Sherlock as an asexual, some people will argue aromantic as well, character. And I always related to that. And they whether they knew it or not, they just totally made a mockery of Sherlock's lack of sexual drive. It was seen as a character flaw and not just a thing he doesn't desire. It was just like, oh, he's so smart, but he doesn't know the ways of women. And I was like, that's not anything that has ever been brought up about Sherlock, the character, ever at all. It's just, he doesn't feel it.
Yeah, and they did this.
I can't describe it, but it's the way all ace people feel about these things of just like, I get it, I comprehend it, I can appreciate it, but I just don't relate to it or feel it the way apparently the rest of the population does. And Sherlock Holmes was the one character I was like, he gets it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That said, I did enjoy his dynamic with Irene Adler. I think it's interesting to see how different adaptations do Irene Adler, because fun fact, in the original story, she's not, like, she's not that way in any adaptations. They always make her as, like, the woman to, like, break the ace. That she's not like that in the books. She outsmarted him once, and he remembered her for it, because she was, like, one of three people on the planet to ever outsmart him. So it's interesting to see the dynamic and the way that people play with
Irene
Adler. And
didn't she outsmart him because he underestimated her just because she was a woman?
Yeah, mostly. I mean, I'm not saying Sherlock Holmes is a feminist icon. He's
Oh, no.
Him and Doyle are pretty, you know, Victorian era misogynistic. But she outsmarted him because, yeah, he underestimated her, and she was very cheeky about it, and he respected her for it.
Yeah. Which I think is awesome. I remember you wrote an article about that, and I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Like, I read it, and I was like, wait, what? I was, like, shocked. I was shocked.
Yeah, also, Mary Watson, Dr.
Oh, my God, which we did get into last week a little bit.
Yeah, before. We mentioned it, like, a little bit. That's another one people will play with in adaptations of, like, she's the one who takes John away from Sherlock. And that's exactly what this one did, which is bull. For the record, my favorite Mary Watson.
Man, was I shook when you said that. I genuinely thought that they were playing off canon with Sherlock being annoyed by the existence of Mary Watson.
I mean, in the books, Sherlock is bummed his best friend moves out. And, you know, but he also recognizes that this isn't, his life isn't Watson's life. And also, Mary Watson ends up dying 3 books later. Victorian era writers also had to deal with ships. Don't you worry. Anyways.
So canonically, it takes 3 books to kill Mary Watson, but Stephen Moffat kills her in 3 episodes.
Yeah. And I like empowering her. I liked the way that they gave her an interesting backstory because she's just like an heiress. She's goes to the boy, the detectives, and is like, solve my problem. And then Watson's like, we got close over this adventure and I want to marry you. And then they do, and then she dies.
Sucks.
Yeah. The way, I don't like the way that they played and used Mary Watson as a tool to like drive a wedge between the ship. And I was like, that's not who she is at all. If you want to see the best Mary Watson, it's the Robert Downey Jr. Jude Law.
Huh. Because, see, I thought that they were playing into that as well, of, like, you're just taking him away from me.
That's how RDJ played it, because he played the more, like, whinier side. But you can also see, I think, you see him respecting Mary sooner.
Yeah.
Than I think this Sherlock did.
Yeah. I respect...
Also, they didn't kill her.
No, they didn't. In this house, we respect RDJ's Sherlock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a good Sherlock. I like those 2 movies. They're very good.
Those ones are... Yeah, again, as a Holmes fan, those ones are just fun. They're canonically don't make any sense, and that's the joy of it. They're so far removed from the source material, I'm just like, yeah!
One of my favorite videos ever is Everything Wrong with Sherlock Holmes. It's like, it's a video that like goes into how, you know, that series on YouTube that's like Everything Wrong with, like, mm-hmm. X movie,
and it just picks it apart.
So it's someone else who like watched that video and was like, no, you're an idiot because you're not watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because Everything Wrong with will be like, how does Sherlock Holmes figure out that there's a glass dagger right there? And it's like, because from any other angle, you can see it, and he noticed it. Because he is the world's smartest detective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but yeah, it's one of my favorite videos. I really love watching it from time to time, because I'm like, oh, right, yes, this is great. But yeah, I feel like there are just so many better adaptations out there. Mm-hmm. And for a really long time, the British detective dominated.
It did. I think out of the gate, it was very innovative on the classic, because I think what scared me, what a lot of people when Elementary started, is because Sherlock, the game's afoot. Anyways, the British detective came first. I think it was like a season. It was a few months right before Elementary. So then CBS announced Elementary and everyone's like, oh, you're just ripping off Sherlock now. And now British game's afoot. You're just ripping off the British one, and you replace Joan with a woman just to make yourself different. So they had to do a lot. They were on the defensive from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
But they were really innovative in their own way, and also totally different TV styles. Cable television
Yeah.
Versus limited series.
Yeah.
I will say, Elementary, though, is up there for some of the worst propaganda I have ever seen in my life.
Yes.
So be prepared.
That is true. That is true. But I really like the show. So
it's a good show.
I would say watch it. I don't care.
Also suffered from a rough last season.
What?
Also suffered from a rough last season. Mm. They got a shortened season, and you can tell the writers were, like, really picking and choosing what plots they wanted to tie up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. But, oh yeah, I remember when Elementary got announced, and the fandom for British Detective went crazy.
That sounds scary.
I don't think it was even the fact that it was a Sherlock Holmes adaptation that was taking place in New York. It was the fact that they were gender-bending John.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the fact that they cast a woman to be John because they were like, oh, they're just being cowards. Like, there's no way that a Sherlock-John relationship would ever be canon, but they want it to be, so they're casting a woman so it can be heteronormative. Like, that was the big argument.
Honestly, that's why I didn't watch Elementary as well, is because this ship that I, my anti-ship that I will apparently die on this hill, I thought the only reason they cast Joan as the iconic Lucy Liu was because they wanted to pair them up.
Yeah, but then that didn't happen.
It did not happen. They have one of the best, like, platonic is too small a word to describe their relationship. And that's my favorite thing about Holmes-Watson, is because it's not romantic, but platonic is too small a word. They're just soulmates. I can't describe it any other way.
Yeah, I think there are very few relationships in media where you just want to see those two characters together. And, you know, for some people, if that relationship gets romantic, then, like, hell yeah, like, let's go. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, you just kind of want to see them together in whatever capacity that is.
Mm-hmm.
And Sherlock and John Watson are kind of that situation. But to me, especially, Elementary's version of Sherlock and Joan was that. Where you were like, I just want to see these two work together and, like,
mm-hmm.
be roommates and interact, and it's great.
Yeah. And they have such a deep and loving connection with each other that's just so genuine. And they were, like, they lived their own lives outside the Holmes-Watson relationship, which I also loved. And that was, for me, what it was lacking in literally any other adaptation.
Yeah.
Is Watson did not have a life outside of Holmes.
Oh, the other thing that makes me big mad about the British Detective, actually,
is that...
Okay. Valid that Sherlock should only be brought onto cases that are particularly difficult.
Yeah. Right?
However, the level of nonchalance that he had with murder was disturbing. And I get that they were playing him up as, like, a psychopath, and, like, murders are the most interesting puzzles to solve, and blah, 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 and, like, all of that ridiculousness. However, I feel like a Sherlock at his core needs to care about the
life.
Crime that happened to feel the drive to actually solve it. Like, and I think that was what was the stark difference for me when I started watching Elementary and, like, then going back to Sherlock, was realizing that in Elementary, the game is afoot, the game is afoot.
Oh, game's afoot.
Because when I was watching Elementary, I was like, oh, wow, this Sherlock really cares about the fact that people have died. Like, he's not sitting around wishing that someone gets murdered so that he can have a job. But the British detective, that Sherlock, will sit around and be like, oh, there's no good murders. Like, I wish someone get murdered today in a really creative way so I can solve that case.
Yeah.
And again, I get that they were trying to play him up as, like, the psychopath. Like, I'm a high-functioning sociopath or whatever. Like,
right.
And part of that is like, oh, that's very interesting that he's, like, aware of these things. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's also, like, very creepy. Like,
yeah.
Like, the only thing stopping him from committing the murders himself is the fact that someone else is doing it.
Yeah, at no point should you ever get the vibe from Sherlock Holmes that he would become a criminal just because he's bored. And I think that the British detective show kept him on that line way too much. That was out of character.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things of just like, what it, if we knew from the get-go that was going to be his whole thing, then like, okay, that's a really interesting dynamic and character trait you can play with. But watching him go toward that line, I'm just like, what happened?
There's also a difference between a Sherlock who is playing with the morality of law.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if it's more moral to do the illegal thing to solve the case or to get the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it, should I just be a criminal because that'll make the game funner?
Yeah. Or like, I'm not, his whole thing of like, I'm gonna stop Moriarty just to defeat a greater mind versus like, this guy's murdered a lot of people.
And we should stop him because he murdered
We should stop a serial murderer.
Yeah. Also, I like the idea of setting up Moriarty within each episode, but there's in The British Detective, every single crime that we see is committed in some way, shape, or form by Moriarty. Moriarty is funding it. Moriarty is a part mm-hmm. of every single crime. Is there not a single murder or crime that happens in London that Moriarty does not have his hands on?
Yeah, interesting for the first season to draw through a thread, but, like, let it go. Like,
yeah.
After a while, it's not interesting.
Like, it's interesting that in that first episode, it's like, oh, Moriarty is paying this guy to murder.
Mm-hmm.
So he can, like, I don't know, they live in the UK, so I don't know why he needs money for his healthcare, but, like, to, like, pay for the healthcare and all that, like, or to pay for his kids, mm-hmm. like... When he dies, he can put it in his will or whatever. Like,
right.
That was interesting. And maybe if you're going to do... You have 90-minute episodes. It is well within your capabilities to have a major plot and then mm-hmm. many different minor subplots going on at the same time. And maybe one of those minor subplots is Moriarty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it has nothing to do with the major mystery happening of the episode.
Which is often why... I liked the second episode in the seasons more, because the first one was the first episode ever was the intro to the whole thing. And then the third episode was the tie-in to next season. And so then the first episode was the tie-up from last season. So the second one was the only one I was like, ah, I can breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, I'm only referring to Blind Banker, which, fun fact, Gemma Chan of Crazy Rich Asians fame is the sister in Blind Banker, and I adore her. Anyways.
Yes, we know this, Lily. But yeah, I don't know. I think The British Detective, one of its major flaws is it's always building up to something, but never following mm-hmm. through.
So much letdown. You just, again, it's not just a ball. You have a yoga ball, and you just dropped it. You just couldn't catch it.
Yeah.
You couldn't hold on to it.
Yeah. And, like, that's the thing that bothers me the most, is that it would build up to these things and build and build and build and build and build and build and build. And then the writers would be like, JK, we solved it off screen. You're never going to see it, and you don't know how it happened.
Yeah. Here's some queer baiting.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, that's just so frustrating to watch in a show, especially mm-hmm. a mystery show, a detective show, where the whole point is that we should be solving the mystery together.
Or we should be floored by the twist. We're either with the detective the whole way, or we're just like absolutely slapped in the face with the twist. Only two mystery formats I will accept.
However, the slap in the face twist should also be trackable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think a good plot twist is one where I can go back and see the groundwork being laid for it, but it went over my head the first time.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
then you feel like issue. You see Holmes and Watson being that smart of, like, they see things that the average person doesn't.
Yeah, but that's the other issue with The British Detective, is that they always wanted to one-up the last season. And they didn't care mm-hmm. about how it happened or how it was set up. It was just like, what's the wildest thing that we can do? And let's just throw it in there and not put any build up to it. Not just like do nothing. Let's just like throw it in there, see what happens. And mm-hmm. it's completely unearned, but it's there.
Yeah. We didn't even get into like one disrespect the fan. But as things went on, the disrespect to Watson that the mm-hmm. British show had, like he's never as smart as Holmes. But he's never just outright unintelligent, you know? And I think after a while, they really played up or played far too into the everyman aspect of Watson. And we just, like, no, the point is as he lives and his work with Holmes grows, like, he starts getting it. He starts picking it up. He's always, like, a step behind Sherlock. But in this show, he was just, like, miles behind at all times.
Yeah.
And it was a little frustrating.
I think Watson in The British Detective was useful for one singular episode, and it was the first one. And that was when he shot the taxicab driver.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he wasn't very useful. I think he was slightly useful in his wedding episode.
Yeah.
But I don't
even
remember.
Then he wasn't even like, he wasn't an intellectual force. He was the humanizing one.
There's never a time where I'm like, oh yeah, like that was like Watson's episode, like that was like when he like really showcased his intelligence.
Yeah, no, it was always growth, the Benedict, you know? Cumberbatch show. Mm-hmm. The Blind Banker is the worst episode for that, I will say. They play around with that idea of like Watson's really tired of being the fool, le fou. But then they acknowledge it and then never grow past that.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, also, let's just, like, very quickly talk about the fourth season.
It's so
Again,
bad.
I did not watch it, but I know the gist of it, and it's something along the lines of, I'm gonna just tell you what I think happened in this season, and tell me how far off I am, because I know it's wild.
You could be right, because I don't remember it.
Okay, well, all I know is that there's something about a sister who
yep.
came out of nowhere, who has apparently been, like, sequestered away for a really long time because she has some magic hypnosis powers.
Yeah.
And she met Moriarty, like, very young, and that's how, like, oh, Moriarty knows who Sherlock is because through the sister.
Oh, that sounds right, actually.
And that, like, the reason why Sherlock and Mycroft don't know who she is because she hypnotized herself out of their memory, and now the whole fourth season is just her messing around with them.
That is definitely the series finale. Because there's also, at some point in time, Watson cheats on his wife. They
She's
wrote that
dead.
One in.
What do you mean?
Before she died, it was right after they had their kid, before she died, he actually, like, yeah, he didn't physically cheat, but he obviously, like, emotionally cheated. So, yeah, they wrote in a little affair because Watson was bored with his home life. I remember that one because Dr. John Watson would never.
That had to be in the fourth season. I don't remember that at all.
And it also, this is another trope that I'm not a huge fan of it created a moment of heteronormativity to open up for the queer baiting of like, he's married, he had a kid, we're gonna kill off the wife, now he can be gay, he can be available again. So the wife was nothing, she was just a baby maker.
So stupid.
Yeah. But no, that is the series finale. They introduced a sister who was a throwaway line in like a very very short story, or a very very late short story. That no one, I don't even know if it was a Doyle, like, canonically Doyle. They just, they mentioned, like, a third Holmes sibling, and the Sherlock writers, Games Afoot, the writers just took it and ran off a cliff. Straight off a cliff.
Speaking of random sisters, the Enola Holmes movie on Netflix.
Oh yeah, I need to watch that.
Do you know that the Doyle estate is suing Netflix and the writer of Enola Holmes, the book series.
Oh no! Yeah, those are kids' books.
Do you want to know why?
No.
Lily, they are suing
because Sherlock cares too much about other people.
Wow.
The portrayal of Sherlock
is too considerate for other beings.
Is too considerate.
Wow.
And cares too much. And is too nice.
It's a kid's book.
It is a kid's book. However, how funny is that?
That's ridiculous. Because that was my complaint with this one, with this Holmes, is he was too... They just leaned into his lack of humanity, which is like what Watson is supposed to do and blah, blah, blah. But like, there are better ways to write.
But he had too much
humanity. I know, there are better ways to write.
He has too much humanity. I love it. I think that's really funny. Yeah. Now, the British detective has many flaws.
Fun fact about the original series. Do you want to know why he even came back after Reichenbach Falls?
Why?
Well, this is, again, fandom ages, like, tale as old as time. Arthur Conan Doyle was done with Sherlock Holmes. He was like, I've written it. People need to stop asking about it.
Originally.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like, Benedict Cumberbatch, and I was like, what? Like, he was contracted. What do you mean?
Yeah. But, like, the only reason the whole Reichenbach Falls trope exists is because Conan Doyle's like, I'm done. This is not going to define my career. So he killed him. He wrote him off some waterfalls. And it was another years-long thing of everyone was like, where's Holmes? Bring him back. He's coming back, right? Arthur Conan Doyle got knighted by the Queen because she wanted Sherlock Holmes back. Yeah, that's the only reason he's Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Was because the British aristocracy wanted Sherlock Holmes back. And I don't know the correct, like, direct lines and dots here, but after he got knighted, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle brought back Holmes and wrote a whole other series.
That's fantastic. I love that so much. That the Queen was like, write more. I'll knight you if you write more Sherlock.
You want the highest civilian honor in the land? Bring back your dead detective.
Yeah, do it. That's great. I love that so much. I feel like that's a good place to end. Like,
mm-hmm.
Oh my. Oh wait, no. Do you want to know something I learned from that 2-hour video that shook me to my core?
Yeah.
After season 4 was released, there is a massive online conspiracy theory that there was actually a secret 4th episode that was going to be released to show. Like, to fix how bad the last season was.
That's like Snyder Cut on Justice League.
No, like, genuinely, the fans were like, it was like this very specific, like, show that was being adapted from books, and they were like, oh my god, like, in all the posters, and like this, and like, and it was mentioned this one time in one episode, and like, what if, like, oh my god, like, this is gonna be, like, the secret 4th episode of season 4, and it's going to explain everything away, and it's going to be a great piece of TV. No, it was just a new show that the people were trying to pilot, and on Twitter that night, like, when it aired, people were tweeting more about the British detective and how it wasn't the 4th episode than the actual show itself.
Oh, bummer. I honestly, though, I will say the 4th season was such a flaming garbage fire, I don't fully blame fans for desperately clinging to any conspiracy theory hope.
But, like, that's how insanely bad that last season was, that fans were like, no, that can't be
this
it.
This can't be it.
But, you know what? I will maintain that I agree with that video that I watched, that from day one, Moffat was showing us that he was a terrible writer. And he just hid it for a while until he couldn't hide it anymore.
I also think that, like, the strength of the actors carried carried the British detective through.
Yeah. I'm still going to say the game is afoot, but okay.
Yeah, okay.
Just
such a slap in the face. What it comes really down was. To for me is just the entirety of this show is just such a slap in the face to its viewers, which is the most offensive thing media can do to its fans.
And, like, I know that it's been, like, 3 years since this show has finished, but I still get mad when I think about it.
And it's
precisely this reason why I have never gone back to rewatch a single episode. or finish the series out completely.
No.
The last episode of British Detective that I have ever watched was the special, and that's it.
Oof. There's no going up from there. That's, like, that's bad, and it's just going to get worse. So, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
how it is. Done. So, 10 out of 10 do not recommend.
Yeah. Watch Elementary, honestly. Yeah,
watch Elementary. Watch Robert Downey Jr.'s Sherlock Holmes. Those are really good, too.
So much hell, fun.
Hell, just watch the VeggieTales Sherlock Holmes. I know there's one out there. Even watch Enola
Sherlock
Holmes.
Enola Holmes.
It's like 2010 Tumblr's wet dream, but, like, it's still fun.
Man, we as a people deserve a good Sherlock Holmes adaptation. Elementary was close.
Yeah. It was, I mean, I don't know any of the source material, so that's on you. I don't really know how true anything is to source material. However, I personally just liked the ones that I just named, and don't watch The British Detective because it sucks.
Yeah.
All right. And this is where we end. So with that, we'll be with you till the end of the line.
Actually, I think, and you don't know that this is one of the closing lines of the entire series, I think we should end with Mary Watson's last spoken line of Sherlock, the show, Games Afoot. Go to hell, Sherlock.
I love that. That was perfect. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EM Fangirls. And you can check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com. And send us an email at emfangirls@gmail.com. Do you like The British Detective? Tell us why.
Tell us why.
Why? How? How do you still like it?
We're open to listening. We're open to hearing it, you know?
I want to pick your brain. I just don't understand. And please follow us on Stitcher and Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Like, please, 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 if you really like this episode or if you like any of our other episodes, leave a review. That would really help the podcast, and it would really help us out, too. So, like, just please leave a review for us.
Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing.